G'day, Snappers, and welcome to the Sunday Snap, coming to you through the SC Ballers feed. This is the podcast where we give our snap reactions to the NRL Supercoach round that was. My name's Jono, coach of the Haas Beans, and with me to talk about all the big news coming out of week two of the NRL finals is the coach of Tubes Pods, Tubes! How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Geez, you've turned on some a bit of excitement here, Jono. You were flat as a tack before the pod, and you've just, it's like once you just start going, g'day, Snappers, you just start amping up. I've had an unbelievable weekend. I'm very happy with the Sharks. I'm just feeling flat, like it was such a high last night, and it's sort of just, you know, I don't know. Today's game was a bit boring. Like I sort of dropped in and out of it. Like the Panthers were just always going to win, and then I've sort of feeling a bit flat coming into tonight.
Yeah, no, I've turned it on. I've fired up. I was a very flat man. I'd say that the city of Canberra is a little bit flat today. There's just a little bit of a lack of buzz.
You are known as a flat man in general.
Not that means. I don't even understand the reference.
Just but Flatty McGrath, Flatty Burton.
Yeah, the city of Canberra's flat. The Raiders gone to the hands of your Sharkies, Tubes. I was watching that actually. I was staying at Canberra Zoo last night for a little first wedding anniversary treat for me and the missus. And I had to watch it. Like the first half, I was watching it on a table on my phone where the waiter, who is a Raiders fan, wasn't allowed to have his phone at work, just constantly checking if my drinks needed to be filled so he could sneak looks at the score and the play. And I was thinking of him as that second half happened. Geez, the Sharks were just, they looked awesome, Tubes. Like, yeah. I know, like, obviously the Raiders coming off a big emotional loss to the Broncos last week, but you can't take credit away from how good the Sharkies look.
Yeah, I felt real confident at halftime after that 5 minutes of Nico Hines' brilliance where he just turned it on. Feel like they found something with that little left edge sweep where they go the double halves, because normally it's just Trindle and Nico sort of either he's on the right or is the first receiver on the left hand side, but he just started playing that second receiver role for a bit on the left hand edge, and we just started absolutely killing it. And I was coming out of the second half thinking we're going to put on another at least three tries here, and I just couldn't see where the Raiders attack was going to come from. And I guess that's how it eventuated.
Yeah, both things came true. I'm obviously not a Sharks fan. I would say that of the remaining teams, the Sharks are the least team that I want to win the comp this year. But I am a Nico Hines fan. I love Nico. And I was so happy just as a casual fan. Well, not a casual, I'm a diehard rugby league fan, but as a non-Sharks fan, to see Nico have that kind of game in a big game. Sharks under the pump, behind the scoreboard, and just produces two big plays coming into halftime to give him the lead and completely turn the game around. I love to see it.
Even again, the bloody media, like, they just loved
him. Were they into him?
Well, they weren't into him. They were just, they try to pit, like, Trindle against him. Like, oh, Trindle had a very good game and Nico was a bit quiet in that second half and Trindle was doing all the kicking. Like, Trindle's kicking was unbelievable. And what a tactic it is. He's got the biggest boot and they just start bombing to Ronnie's side. Like, it just makes sense from a game plan point of view, but the Sharks were down 6-0, and
when you're marking up Tubes against son of Ricky, it makes sense. I don't know if it's going to be as successful next week against Will Warbrick.
We've got dud of the week, and Jed didn't quite make it in for our team, and that's probably, and he only had 12 Supercoach points, and that probably just goes to the level of expectations we had on Jed's performance.
So let's just get straight in. We'll save some of this Raiders Sharkies chat when we actually do the game breakdown. Let's get into our dud of the week, because your one isn't from this game. So who you got?
Oh, I've gone Talagi. So a little bit impacted from this game. So Strange being out, the 5-8 options were limited. And the reason I've got Talagi is he had a 40. He played pretty well. Obviously, the Panthers killed it. But I think the big thing with this Supercoach finals structure is you can only have three from one team. And so a lot of people then jump from Strange to Talagi as their third Panther in the 5-8 role. And it's just been a bit of a killer, I think, for a lot of people, given he got 40 and most of the other Panthers killed it. And so, yeah, he was my sort of dud in that 5-8 spot for this week.
You know, the funny thing, Tubes, is I'm not sure how carefully you watched that game. He had an awesome game. Like, it was actually one of his better, like, more controlled NRL performances in terms of the way he was fitting into that left edge. It was no big highlight reels, but just a really nice, calming presence. Did a couple of good kicks on the last tackle when Cleary had been, like, tackled on the second last, and just had a good game, but didn't translate into Supercoach points at all.
Yeah, and I didn't see much of the second half, if I'm honest. Like, I was sort of, it was over at half time, and I thought he was really good defensively. A couple of very good reads in that first half as well. Like, he put in a pretty solid defensive game as well, which has obviously been one of his weaker areas historically.
Oh, they did. They went at him a bit in that second half.
Yeah, okay. So yeah. There you go. I'm glad I prefaced it with that then.
Because I think every single try was down that edge. So, yeah, they did go at him. Look, Chiefs, I'm one of those people, when Strange was ruled out, I did bring in Blaze. And the part that I'm kicking myself over is that I had to get rid of Brian Tor to do so. So what I ended up doing was I brought in Blaze at 5'8", didn't want to drop Dylan Edwards or Nathan Cleary, so drop Brian Tor. And I actually brought in Hudson Young into my flex. So, look, it's only ended up costing me about 40 points before updates from this game, but still very frustrated, especially because I own Jacob Preston, and I took a big look at Lockie Galvin. I was like, do I just pair up Galvin and Preston and just let that combo? Because if Preston goes well, it probably means Galvin's gone well. And for whatever reason, didn't do it. So I have left a lot of points, you know, on the table with that one.
Yeah.
Who'd you have at 5-8, Tubes?
Dud. Burton. So he didn't do much better, but because I had such a poor week last week, I was going really against the grain. And I was laying all Panthers except Cleary, just hoping somehow they all got beat. And I didn't even captain Cleary or vice captain Cleary. So the smart play was definitely stack Panthers, but I just was trying to somehow make a huge comeback, and it could have happened because I've had a pretty good score. I've had a 929, but just because everyone's gone well, like all the popular players have gone well, it feels like it won't be a moving week for many people realistically.
No, it doesn't seem like it at all. I reckon a lot of people are going to be in and around that kind of 900 to 1,000 mark, I'd say.
Yep.
Especially off the back of that last game. Cheers. My dud of the week was at Baller this week. We all picked a different topic to do a TikTok and Instagram video for. And this is one of the guys I had as a potential pot of the week. It was KO Weeks, who only had 23 points, no attacking stats outside of two tackle busts. And I just thought the Sharks defense completely shut him down. Like, they did such a good job. Every time he looked like he was half dangerous, they were just up and in his face and shutting him down.
It's interesting. Cooper kept bringing it up on the commentary, or at least in the analysis. I didn't think about how much Strange being out potentially impacted him as well.
Not playing as wide?
Yeah, and he's a big right side player. So, like, yeah. I know Strange is on the left, but that was sort of where all their attack was. And that Sharks left edge defense is just unbelievable. Like, Iro's one of the best defensive centers in the game. Ronnie's always pretty solid, and they just did a job on him. Like, they shut down Timoko and they shut down him all night going right. But it was a bit sort of not pedestrian, but certainly it was too structured when they went out there. Like, he just wasn't getting involved enough and probably just needed a bit more off the cuff, and maybe not having Strange impacted that from his perspective.
Yeah, I mean, look, I guess the only positive is that Dylan Edwards hasn't gone that well either. So if anyone did decide to pot up, you haven't been absolutely – it's not like Dylan Edwards came and got 150.
Yeah.
So it hopefully hasn't hurt people too much. Chief, just before we get into our first round review, just a reminder as well to all the snappers and ballers out there, got to get on board the Discord. You can find the link, I believe, Tubes. The link is posted on the Baller website, baller.live/discord. That's baller.live/discord. So if you want to get in there and have a chat with us two, as well as some of the other Baller contributors, plus plenty of other ballers from the community, it is the place to go. Giving a lot of, like, the last minute NRL news as well for team changes and little things. Like, I know one I found really helpful, Tubes, in week one coming through the Discord was I was looking at whether or not to get Brian Toto for that week one game. And if he was on the left, I was going to get him. On the right, I wasn't. And I just wrote a message into the Discord saying, does anyone know if Toto was warming up on the left? And very quickly got a response saying, yep, he's out there now, and just brought him in. So really good for that kind of late mail and scoops
Scoops. The it's good. No, and so much going on in the Supercoach world. Did you hear about they're doing a Supercoach MBA? And
Are
so
they?
yeah.
Oh, I love that.
And so I found that out in the Discord. And because we're gonna be doing there's all those different channels. So I pop up, you probably don't look at it as much, but I pop up a bit in the NFL Supercoach
Oh,
Discord.
it's just I've looked at it. It's just you and Fenno just having a love affair in there.
there's some others that sort of contribute a little bit, but it is good because there's the different channels for the different super coaches, and then there's going to be for those that like Big Bash, there's going to be a lot of stuff to do with that ball is doing. Obviously, if we just said NBA's now going to be coming, NFL, like just anyone that's into fantasy and sport, you can get in there and you'll find someone to talk to or chat with. So it's good.
Yeah, get on in. All right, come join us. Let's get into it, Hughes. First game, the Raiders and the Sharks. We've already spoken about it a little bit. The Sharks just 32-12. Would not have predicted that scoreline. As someone who's not a Raiders fan but lives in Canberra and likes the Raiders, the second that Strange was ruled out, I started to become very, very nervous about that. Like, I've got to say, like, I'm not saying that would have been the difference, but it just started to make me think, oh no, Raiders could be in trouble here. But everything's just kind of falling nicely for the Sharks, isn't it, Tubes? Like, I was thinking about this today. I don't think you have. Do you have any injuries in your top 17? Like, I know Tommy Hazelton's going to be out next week now with a concussion. But other than that, you guys are full strength, like proper full strength.
Yeah, and even then he was in for. And I think he's part of our best 17. Don't get me wrong, but we left out Kaufusi, who's been
Had a
solid
good
all
year.
year as well. Like
Yeah.
it's not the worst loss to have, I suppose, given our forward depth.
Yeah.
And it just feels like we've got a nice run through the finals. Obviously, with the way that everything happened with the Raiders, coming off that loss last week, that was just a demoralizing loss, and it's so easy to see now.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like, obviously, I was thinking it was good Strange was out, but it didn't make me still really confident as a Sharks fan. But after 20 minutes, I was super confident in the Sharks winning. I wasn't like going and shouting it to the rooftops because, all of those different things. But I was watching the game feeling like the Raiders, they lacked some, I don't know if it was, they just didn't feel like they had that attacking prowess. And that's partially because of the Sharks'
Yeah.
defense. It's
Definitely.
partially
That
because
deserves
of
plenty of
Strange
credit.
being out. But I also think that a part of it is just that it is hard for them to get up after that week. So yeah, that's worked out well for the Sharks. Obviously they played well and beat the Roosters in week one. And I think of the prelims, doesn't mean we beat the Storm, but I'm more happy to play Melbourne in Melbourne than Brisbane in Brisbane or the
Yeah.
Panthers, obviously. So
100%.
of the other three teams left, the Storm's the one that I want to be playing.
Yeah, well, they just got a few. Like, their form's been a little bit mixed as well, the Storm, for their standards. You've got Jerome Hughes, who's going to play, but he's got a broken arm. Like,
Is
it's
Pappy
just.
back too? Is he going to play? Yeah,
Pappy's back because he was just a concussion.
that's a brand new. That spine hasn't played together basically for, or played a very limited amount of minutes together for a very long time.
Yeah, and one thing about the Storm is, like, where they're a little bit weak, although Utekumanu playing really well at the moment's helped that, but is their front row. And that's probably where the Sharks' biggest strength is, their just solid middle rotation. I know it's not Supercoach relevant. Big Sifo Talakai, when he comes on through the middle, that's 2 weeks in a row he's completely changed the game coming on through that middle.
Bring him back for Origin. Like, how good is he? Like, on it, no, but if you talk about genuine impact, like 20 minutes off the bench, like, he's unbelievable. I was talking to the Podfather about him today, and then the Podfather made some good points to me that I hadn't really thought about, but McInnes going down, like you're never happy someone gets injured, but these back rowers for the Sharks, Billy Burns, Jesse Colquhoun, and then Teague Wilton, and I know I'm
Oh,
probably Colhu, all of them are just unbelievable, and they're all playing out of their skin. Like they all come from the same mold. Like they just look so good. They run really good lines, very tough defenders. And what it's also with them playing well, it's allowed Nikkaroth to become an impact player off the bench as well. And I'm not saying Nikkaroth shouldn't be an 80-minute player and all of that, but just the way that it's worked out for the season, Nikkaroth then brings a lift when he comes onto the field as well, in the
Yeah.
same vein as Talakai and, Hazelton can.
One more comment on the general football, then we'll get to the actual Supercoach side of it. Remember there was a time, Tubes, when Teague Wilton was a big relevant Supercoach player, and he was kind of relevant because he was this big attacking stat upside guy, but the downside to him was he had a lot of errors in his game, a lot of missed tackles. Hasn't he just become like a solid, good NRL player who run? Like, I know he had that kick. That was a little bit extravagant at the end of the game, putting that little grubber through for himself. But like that aside.
Eyes up football. Yeah.
But that aside, like, that's the kind of thing he used to do all the time. And like now he just seems to become just a much more consistent footy player, and he's less Supercoach relevant, but a better player because of it.
Runs a very good line still, Teague. Mm. And yeah, he's just a very good NRL player. Like all of those, that they're sort of the unsung three in the Sharks pack. Like, and I know we'll probably talk about him. We can probably jump in straight into him, but AFB had a huge game. Obviously Hazelton got injured, but it felt like he was in to play big minutes from the very beginning. And he ended up doing so. So,
just 66 minutes.
Yeah. So 66 minutes. And, what's he ended up on? 64 from a Supercoach point of view. Two in a row where hasn't felt like the Supercoach scores matched his output. But yeah, he was just fantastic again. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if the Sharks can roll through the Storm next week in the middle and through the pack. That's for sure.
Nah, my man Big Udo Kamano's gonna shut it down. I reckon. Chiefs, another one, speaking of unheralded or unsung heroes, he was at the start of the year, he's not anymore. Blake Brayley. And I actually thought he ended up with 66 points on the weekend. His actual footy game was so much better than a 66-point Supercoach game. Like, it was one of those ones where when I opened the app at the end, I was like, it's going to be on 80-plus here. Once Sharks had that momentum with Talakai and then AFB, like, kind of going back-to-back, his running game really just came into the light.
Just didn't get, from a Supercoach point of view, any actual line breaks or line break assists.
Yeah, just great runs.
Many half ones or things. Yeah. He got a couple of penalties even where he nearly made a break and they had to hit him high and threw out an arm. Just absolutely had them rolling. But, I mean, obviously playing off a very dominant forward pack, which is surprising as well given how good the Raiders forward pack is. They've been dominating teams all year. You'd say that's their biggest strength.
It is.
Just how much they've been rolling through teams.
Yep. Tubes, just a quick yes or no. Is Blake Brayley the New South Wales hooker in game one next year?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Especially if he plays this kind of form. I don't think they can overlook him. The biggest scorer for the Sharks, Tubes, is the man that you feel in those Sharkies. You put the C on him, Nico Hines. He had the captaincy on him. He's ended up with 119, a try and assist, 24 points in goals. Like we said, Tubes, just good to see Nico have this kind of game. One of the things I thought, again, as a non-Sharks fan watching, was it the best game that him and Trindle have ever played together? Yes. Like, we've seen them both have good games individually and the other guy's a bit quiet. You think just a clear, yes, best 100% combo game ever?
Yeah. And also,
what do you think it was about their roles? Like, what was it that stood out for you this week?
Like, I think I already said earlier in the pod, like, the Nico playing that left sweeping role, like, they were going to each other's side well. Like, it wasn't like, oh, the left's doing well tonight, I'll just let Trindle run it, or Trindle's going to do this and Nico's just running the ball more. They actually were doing set sweeping plays. It was then Will Kennedy's quietest game. Like, and that's a good thing for the Sharks. Like, it's don't get me wrong, he dropped a couple of balls, but from an attacking point of view, I feel like they've picked up on something. Like, unlock Hines a bit more as the sweeping sort of half. And let him play both sides of the ruck. He doesn't need to be the first receiving half. He's not a Nathan Cleary. He's a different style. And I felt like that came together. And then Trindle's kicking game was very good. Like, he's always had a big kicking game, but it felt like, I know he was targeting Jed, but he was pretty much on the money most of the night.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think one of my problems with Trindle is that he has to be a dominant half, but he's also not elite enough to be the dominant half in a really, really good team. What I liked for him the other night was that he was kind of happy to sit back and just play his role, like kick when he needed to, get Hines into good positions, and the Sharks looked a better team for it. So if Trindle can keep doing that, I just don't know if he can. I think he loves to be the dominant ball in the hands all the time guy. But if he can keep doing that, yeah, it could be another upset. It could be three upsets in a row, Tubes, for the Sharks next weekend. Right, that's enough. That's enough about the Sharks now. We've given them.
If you want to keep talking, I'll keep going. It's a bit less than we did with Matt last week. So there we go.
Let's go to the Raiders and the poor Raiders. First, I believe I read today, the first team since 2009 to be bundled, to finish first and be bundled out in straight sets, the poor Raiders. But look, yeah, like you said, choose
the
start.
Who was it in 09? The Dragons, I reckon.
Well, that's
Parramatta that would bundled fit. Them out. Jared Hayne just went unbelievable. Anyway, sorry.
No, it's all right. One of the great runs. And also a run where Jared Hayne followed you on Twitter. I'm still jealous. I remember we were sitting there one day and we both followed Hayne. It was early days of Twitter and NRL players used to like actually like use it and communicate with people. And we were just sitting there one day and Jared Hayne just followed you on Twitter and I was so jealous.
He just knew future Sunday Snap contributor and get in early.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to follow me on Twitter now. No, I'm happy to leave that.
You can age well, but
you can have that follow. Jews, the big horse, he was the standard. I know you took a big look at Corey Horsford this week. He's in it with 102 in 66 minutes with a try. He was all effort. He looked a broken man horse when the game was said and done. You didn't end up going him though, did you?
No, I went Tarpany over him. I did have a look at him. I just thought Tarpany's more chance of scoring a try, and that was pretty much it. But then Horse scored that try. And it was a good try.
What about the
minutes,
though?
Yeah.
Tarpany only 48 minutes. That's weird.
Yeah. It's Ricky. We've talked about it. Like, it's just.
No, but I thought that was saving him to play him 65 minutes in these big games. But maybe he just looked tired. Maybe he wasn't getting around well.
Maybe.
I don't know. He did play big minutes last week.
And also they had Simi not on the bench. So, like it just was a really weird time to play. But, I mean, well done to the Raiders, and they'll enjoy the break. Hudson Young, 95, he was the big effort man. I brought him straight into my team when Strange was out just because you just knew he was just going to try and do absolutely everything on that left-hand side.
Yeah, and he's 95, like you said, his only attacking stat was really a line assist. The rest was just in base and power. His work rate was huge. I will say he didn't look quite as threatening as last week. Like, whilst he was trying hard and getting through the work, there wasn't that, like, any given moment he could break the game open like he did against the Broncos last week. The Sharks did a really good job there. The other one, Chiefs, I know a lot of people discussed, I don't know how many brought him in, but Tommy Starling was discussed as a bit of a pod option, especially after he played big minutes last week. He had 77 in 64 minutes with an assist, so he's gone really well for anyone who took that chance. And Tubes, your man, Matt Timmercall, a pod who has just not fired at all these finals, 38 this week, backing up a 26 last week. So not Timmercall time. And his defence, by the way, both weeks, he's been shredded. I know it's not just his fault. There's other people on that edge, but the centre's usually a big communicator in that defensive line, and they've been shredded 2 weeks in a row out there.
Yeah. The one we didn't mention from the Sharks was Iro. Like, I was never...
No, Tubes, saving him.
Yeah, I was never bringing in Timoko going up against Iro. He's just such a good defensive center. Like,
unbelievable, Iro.
Yeah.
All right, Tubes, let's get into our second segment. It is time to see who is ready to explode in Supercoach Finals Week 3. Who have you got as...
You might need to go first after we've just done some saving.
It might be a surprise for the listeners to hear that my ready-to-explode player is KL Ito. He had a 90 with a try off a kick. He had a line break and a TC as well. He also achieved one thing that stood out to me, 14 points in tackle bust, which is his most in a game since returning from injury. I know you and Matt kind of joked slash speculated that obviously like his power and his ability to train in that upper body might have been impacted by that pec injury. I wonder if a big part of it's just that kind of confidence of getting back and getting through a few games as well, because I thought that was easily the best he's actually looked in a game. I know it's easy to say in a 20-point win in a big game, but he was busting tackles. He almost scored a second try when he was put through. I think Nico put him through on that left edge, didn't he, as well? So I just thought he looked fantastic. With all that being said as well, he's coming up against the Storm right edge now. And if there is a weak spot for the Storm, that's it. They've conceded 47% of their tries this year down their right edge. So you've got KL Ito running out there. I think he's just a must-have and lock into your team for next week.
Yeah. I think he's definitely one of the few good options for next week. And I loved owning him this week. And as a Sharks fan, I can imagine I'll have him in my team again next week too.
What about Tubes? We're going to be in the air We're flying to the States next week to go to a mate's wedding and having a few little fun stopovers along the way. And we're going to be in the air for this game.
Yeah.
What's your plan?
I don't know. I've found like the overseas streaming, but I don't know if it'll work on the plane. Obviously, I'll pay for Wi-Fi and streaming. I did look at delaying my flight and it was about $3,000, and it just felt like a bit too much.
If they lose. If you did that, then the Sharks lost. Big mistake.
So I mean, we'll talk about it and think about it. But the other option is, like, I think we've got a couple hour stopover in LA. I could just try to avoid it completely, somehow get on a replay without watching it at all as well, like if that's possible. I don't know.
The only
like,
thing is the second you turn your phone on, you're getting every notification under the sun, and it's going to be a lot about that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Don't know. So
we can discuss. I mean, maybe I take the hit. Maybe I take mine off.
Nah, because I'll know.
What do you mean you'll know?
I don't want to watch it by myself, you knowing who won and I don't. Like, you would be sitting there all smug either way, no matter what. So.
All right, Chips, who's your ready to explode player?
Oh, big one. Big one. Geez, it won't shock me if this guy's on the plane to England later on for the Ashes series. And, he's available in the hooking position for Supercoach Finals, and that is lean, mean, big Billy Walters, starting 5'8 for the Brisbane Broncos.
Hold on. Are you doing a bit?
No.
Is this a joke?
No, Chips, not at all.
He's torn his ACL. He's out for the year. He's gone.
Damn it.
He's having surgery. Ezra Ram's going to play 5'8". I didn't know what the joke. I was waiting for what the joke was.
You know how long I spent trying to decide, am I ready to explode?
I was waiting to see what the guy. I saw him on the run show. I was like, what is he going to say, that Billy Walters' ACL's exploded? What's the joke here?
Oh, God. Yeah. That's how much effort I'm putting into my NRL final Supercoach research. I'm going to pick Ezra Mann then as my ready to explode player. he's just very good. So he's ready to explode next week for the Broncos.
Yeah, I tell you who it could hurt is because they're going to have Mann and Reynolds back. I'm interested to see how that impacts Reece Walsh. Like, if that's how it's named, Chiefs, Mann at 5'8", Reynolds at halfback, Ben Hunt back at hooker. Do you still think Reece Walsh would be a must have against Penrith?
No, not a must have. Still probably the best fullback to get. I'd say.
Yeah. All right, Tubes, let's get into the second game of the round, the Doggies versus the Panthers, which the Dogs got pumped. 26 points for them, 46 for the Panthers. And it was very much a going through the motions second half for Penrith as well. And Paul Alamotti has had 189 with 3 tries, an assist, a try contribution, 28 points in tackle busts and 5 line breaks. As it stands prior to updates, Tubes, that is the equal highest score of the year. I dare say they'll probably find him a couple of extra points and he's going to overtake Teddy for the biggest NRL Supercoach score this season. Huge.
Yeah, massive.
And like how many, what percentage do you reckon do people own Paul Alamotti?
Don't know. Very tiny. Very
like 1%?
Yeah.
1-2%?
Yeah.
Because like it's not that he was a bad option, like, because a lot of people were confident the Panthers were going to smash the Dogs. It's just that at centre wing, you've only got one slot. You're probably going to give it to Brian Tall. Yep. And I know Kay Alito was well talked about too. So even if people went to flex, it probably was the other one. So, yeah, his ownership would have been pretty low.
If you owned him, you would have put the VC on him, though, surely, as well. Like, you would have just doubled down if you went him over Toto. Maybe. But the one man that did talk about bringing him in was Danny Boy. And he sent a message saying, Alamotti redemption.
I thought he had him on
the WhatsApp
group. Yeah, did you assume he had
the redemption? Yeah. And then so I didn't say anything. And then a little bit later I was like, did you get him? Of course not. So was not redemption. But anyway, he looked, like I said, I really watched that first half and Panthers just absolutely destroyed them on both edges, realistically. So I'm guessing Alamotti just went on with it.
Yeah, he had a great game. And, like, just I think his work rate was massive too. I wonder, Tubes, you and I do love narrative in our super coach as much as stats and actual thought process. I wonder if the narrative had been pushed out there more about Alamotti coming up against his old club who'd cast him aside in the big finals game. I would have liked a little bit more narrative chat there. I might have brought him in. I definitely wouldn't have brought him in. No, not a chance. Not a chance.
So, Toto was just such a clear cut on that left-hand edge. The only way you're not getting Toto is if you're trying to lay the Panthers like I was. Like, he was just the clear cut. Or, like, you had to go Tulagi versus Toto. Like, you weren't bringing in Alamotti as one of your three. You've done very well. The winner, the leader, might have brought in Alamotti and done something, because that's probably what it would be taking at the moment.
Yeah. He's really, Alamotti, the first, like, big pod to go off in this new Supercoach finals format, because everyone else who's going well are just template, really popular picks. Alamotti's the first one that could really have a big swing for anyone who took a risk.
Yeah.
Speaking of Toto, Tubes, 134, two tries and an assist. No surprise for anyone who watched that game. And Nathan Cleary, interesting one for him. He's had 105 with a try and an assist. He was just very happy, like, not having to do too much, directing the boys around the park. Really good NRL game. And obviously a good Supercoach score, but he just didn't need to inject himself that much, Cleary, with the way that game went.
Yeah, I just, geez, I'm going to hate the narrative if they win next week of going for five in a row. Like, I'm just...
It's a great narrative.
No, just don't want it. Like, I just, I was looking forward to this being the year that their dominance was over. In saying that, as a Sharks fan, I feel like I'd rather play the Panthers if the Sharks were to win in the grand final than the Storm. Than the Broncos. So either way, it's going to be an awesome game.
Yeah. I think whoever wins that game is going to go into the grand final favourite, right?
Yeah.
I assume. Yeah. Unless there's injuries and there's no way the Sharks go in favourite. I could see a world where there's a couple of injuries and then maybe if the Storm put on a dominant performance, they could maybe go in favourite, would be the only way.
Yeah, and that's not
going to
happen. So.
Tubes, the other Panthers who are relevant, Dylan Edwards, probably one of the most owned players this round. He had 79 with only a try assist, and you already spoke about Blaze Talangi, who would have been a bit of a pod 5-8 option. On the Doggies side of things, it was really just their right edge, and all of their right edge went well. Jacob Preston, who I did bring in as a bit of a pod play, he had 124 with a try and a try assist. Lockie Galvin, the 5-8 inside him, has had 95. Bronson Cherry, 86. And Jacob Kiddo, 79. So that whole right edge has delivered for the Doggies.
Yeah, big, big. And then I actually went Tracy versus Edwards as a pod play. Not what did Tracy get? But he had 67 or something like that. So he's done.
Yeah, near matched him.
Yeah, near match. So... And he's a pretty right edge dominant player as well. So, yeah, obviously they must have just been throwing it around a bit in that second half. And as you said, targeting Blaze, he was certainly the one to go after in that side.
Yeah. And look, the only other one choose is Matty Burton, had a 42. I think you did own Matty Burton, I believe. And yeah, bit of a stinker.
Yeah. I mean, in hindsight, you sort of tried to talk me into Galvin, but I did like the Galvin Preston double down. But once I'd already bought in Podson,
Well, it makes Galvin instantly less attractive if you don't own Preston.
Yeah,
so, because you just know that if Galvin goes well, it means that Preston's gone huge too.
Yeah, yeah.
I just can't believe I should have spoken with someone. I normally would if it was Supercoach Classic. I would have had this. Would have put way more thought into it, but wish I'd have spoken to someone about how much sense it would have made just to pair them up instead of changing my whole team around. Would have had a much better week.
Too busy looking at Lions.
Too busy. Pretty good. Pretty good trade-off. all right, Chiefs, that pretty much brings us out to a close. It is literally a short and sharp Sunday snap. We've been snappy today. Actually, if anything, we've probably been a little bit bloated for two games. I don't know how snappy you can call 40 minutes on two games of footy, but... Tubes, this is our last normal episode of the year. Our next one next week, we're going to be coming from Vegas.
Yeah, I feel like we'll need to think of it on the way over, but we'll think of some different segments that we can do from a content perspective. From
theme to Vegas.
Yeah, for sure.
I like it.
So we'll be doing it Sunday morning after or very early, late hours Saturday night, early hours Sunday morning before our big NFL game and before we go to the Raiders v Bears in Vegas on that Sunday. So yeah, it'll be a very early morning Sunday snap, I think.
Yeah, it'd probably, for those in Australia, it'll probably come out about, I reckon, Monday morning at some stage. We'll get it up and out, I reckon, assuming that the internet all works how we want it to. But we'll see. It'll be coming to people. We'll get it up there. And just another reminder for anyone who hasn't already done it, jump in the Discord. Make sure you listen to the Tuesday show to hear all the big team news and some more in-depth chat about who are the best options coming into those prelims. Tubes, take us home.
You beauty.